Proverbs for the day, July the 20th, Proverbs chapter 20, verses 8 to 10. July the 20th, Proverbs chapter 20, verses 8 to 10. A king that sitteth in the throne of judgment scattereth away all evil with his eyes. Who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin? Diverse weights and diverse measures, both of them are alike abomination to the Lord. Sometimes it's good to just transport ourselves into the passages of Scripture. And Christians, and I'm talking about practicing born-again believers, Christians are spiritual and mystical. There must be a side to our life that is mystical. Now, not by the world definition, not by Far Eastern definition, but keep in mind, when we see examples of spiritual and mystical things that are not so, we realize those are counterfeits. I think that a lot of believers miss out on what God has for them because when they look at something, and especially if they don't stay in the book, spend some time in it, absorb it, read it, meditate on it, chew on it, work with it, cogitate, the old timers would say. When they don't do that, they forget that the book is genuine and what we see around us is counterfeit. Instead, they'll take things that are spiritual and mystical and they'll discount them altogether because someone has made a counterfeit. If someone bought something from you with counterfeit money and so you got ripped off one time, I would hope you wouldn't quit using money, thinking that you can't use money. Now, you'd probably be a little more careful next time you do a deal, or, there's other ways to get ripped off today, you know, digitally and ID theft and all that sort of stuff. In other words, the counterfeit is just that. It's a counterfeit. So let's sort of transport ourselves into this passage of Scripture so that we can take advantage of, learn from, benefit from, apply Scripture. Scripture is both mystical and spiritual. And although that's not the subject of this devotion, I feel impressed from time to time to try to put before believers this truth that we have a mystical, spiritual belief. Now, it's founded in written words that we have, absolute words, actual doctrines. But what they represent is mystical and spiritual. It is out there. It's in another world. It's in the unseen. That's why he values faith to the point that he says without faith, it's impossible to please him. And so when God takes faith and he not just recommends us, but it says that we must have it, and he says it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, then we know that it's mystical and spiritual. So we have a physical, earthly picture before us. Proverbs 20, verses 8 to 10. A king that sitteth in the throne of judgment scattereth away all evil with his eyes. Who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin? Diverse weights and diverse measures, both of them are alike abomination to the Lord. First of all, a monarchy is God's standard operating procedure. And whether or not it's called that, whether or not the leader is called a king, the picture is a monarchy. You know, if in practical terms, it's a whole lot simpler for God to lead one person than it is for him to lead 5 or 10 or 20 or 30 or 40 or 100 when it comes to decisions. I think it's fair to say Adam was king of his castle. Now, not perhaps as some have described it. And of course, many things that we believe as humans are reactions to things that have been of God but gone wrong. Okay? Abraham was king of his castle. Jacob was. Advisors, absolutely. Counsel, yes. But a monarchy, nonetheless. You know, when the people rebelled against the Lord, they wanted a king like the rest of the world. In other words, the people rebelled against the Lord being king. See, the judges were ruling by God. It wasn't inherited. It wasn't handed down. The Lord can move one man a lot easier than a panel or a committee. And so it is important to realize in our hearts that a monarchy is God's standard operating procedure. And so the Lord wants to be king in our lives. Not only wants to be, we know He's worthy. We know He made the place. We know He has authority. But see, in operating, standard operating procedures, SOP, and standard operating practices and procedures, the Lord must be a monarch over us for it to work. And our smallest culture, a home, has to have a monarchy situation. You know, isn't it amazing that people would buck up, rise up, get even animated about that? When in reality, when there's a committee, someone knows who's really influencing that committee and who has the real power, even though they don't want it on their name. That way the buck doesn't stop with them, it stops with the committee. So a monarchy is God's standard operating procedure. Secondly, verse 9, who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin? Man can never be perfect. You're going to have to wash your neck today because it's going to get dirty. And you'll need to tomorrow because it's going to get dirty, because we live in a fallen world. We're going to have to confess today and examine tomorrow that we confess tomorrow. Now, don't take it lightly when you have learned to confess light sins. See, you probably are not going to have to confess murder or adultery like David tomorrow or even tonight when you're done with this day. Maybe you won't have to confess thievery. But there's a whole lot of other things that we have to say, Lord, I gave in on that. I caved in. I gave in. I responded this way. I did this. I did that. Years ago, the story was told, a middle-aged preacher went into a motel room to get an older preacher for the nighttime meeting. And he went in there and didn't find him right inside the motel room there. And he didn't find him there. And he saw the bathroom door partway open. And he looked in there to see if that old preacher was okay, hoping he hadn't fallen or gotten hurt. And he saw him kneeling down beside the toilet, and he thought, oh my goodness, he's sick, and it's time to go preach. And so he tapped on the door, and the old preacher flushed the toilet and got up. And he said, the young preacher said, brother, you all right? He goes, I'm fine, I'm fine. Well, brother, what are you doing? He said, none of your business. He said, well, brother, are you all right? He goes, yeah. He said, if you must know, young fella, he said, I have a time of day I set aside, and I get down and I ask the Lord to show me what I've done wrong, how I've sinned against Him, and I write it on a piece of toilet paper and confess it, and I flush it. And the young preacher looked at that old preacher and he said, brother, what on earth would you have to confess? And the old preacher looked at him and said, well, that's none of your business. And so it isn't anybody else's business, but man can never be perfect. Now, I understand as leaders, as parents, we try to guide people in their decisions. We try to help them to see the things that come between them and God. But because man can never be perfect, and a monarchy is God's standard operating procedure, we have to realize that God is going to judge sometimes through imperfection, just like He would if you and I were in charge. I find it amazing, and I do find it humorous sometimes when children or wives get all up in arms about the head of the house as if they were truly in charge and the buck had to stop with them, that they could come away better. It's the modern day we live in that wants to, however subtly or however smoothly, tear down authority. Now, thirdly, before our time gets away, verse 10, divers weights and divers measures, both of them are like abomination to the Lord. We've mentioned this before, but a weight and a measure is how you go through life. You go and buy a gallon of fuel or a liter, or you buy a gallon of milk or a liter of milk. You buy a pound of food. There's so many things that are done. You buy feed for your horses or your pets or your dogs. You buy flour or sugar. It's by weights and measures. Well, that is in dealing with one another. You see, in dealing with one another, if you were selling 5 pounds of oats to someone, it ought to be 5 pounds of oats. The idea is this. Measure your day by God's standards. Measure your day by God's standards. Not a moving standard. Not a masses standard. And that includes grace to others first. You know, we should have a time when we do a daily review and then a daily prepare. And we can ask ourselves, have I done unto others as I would have them do unto me? You say, well, that'd make just a soft, you know, sissy Christianity. No, not at all. It'd make a sensitive Christianity. There's nothing wrong with being sensitive to doing wrong by God and wrong by His weights and measures. That's not going to make you cave in on doctrine. It's not going to make you... But what it is going to do is going to make you soft towards God. We are like an animal in this sense. He takes something like the horse or the mule, and he says, be ye not as the horse or mule, which have no understanding, whose mouths must be held in by bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. And above that in the passage, he says, I will guide thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. He said, I want to get to where just a look will guide you and steer you. And so we are to take on God's weights and God's measures. Divers and diverse weights and measures is the idea that, I'm going to deal with this person a certain way, and I'm going to deal with that person a certain way. And we're talking about in the sense of fairness and equity and those kind of things. Now, measure your day by God's standards. Take the time to do it on a daily basis. A monarchy is God's standard operating procedure. A man, mankind, woman, boy, girl can never be perfect. And so measure your day by God's standards.